Many experts believe the army is the kingmaker in Egypt. The generals are the ones who decide who leads the country. And so far, they've only chosen from their own ranks. The same applies to the current situation the country is in. In wake of the Egyptian people's revolution and demand for Mubarak to step down, the army has seemingly chosen not to take sides. Egypt's army is the 10th largest in the world and receives more than $1 billion in aid from the U.S. every year. The relationship between the American and Egyptian armies is so close that the U.S. President Barack Obama has been quick to praise its stance in the wake of the recent events.
And I want to commend the Egyptian military for the professionalism and patriotism that it has shown thus far in allowing peaceful protests.
While the army could have cleared the streets of anti-government protesters within minutes, it chose not to. But why? Many say the generals believe it's time for Mubarak to step down and have already chosen his successor. Another military figure, former Egyptian intelligence chief Omar Suleiman. A close and trusted ally of Mubarak, Suleiman shares many of the president's views on key issues.
He's very well received in Washington, D.C. and in by the Israeli government because he has been the person, the enforcer of certain things, security crackdowns on Muslim Brotherhood, the security crackdown against the Palestinians in Gaza. He is the engineer of that security and the barricading and putting the siege against the Gaza.
Until recently, the name Omar Suleiman was not well known to the outside world. But those who have followed the American policy of rendition know Suleiman very well. He was the CIA's point man in Egypt for the covert program which allowed for terror suspects to be secretly transferred to and from Egypt for interrogation, often under brutal circumstances. Of note is the case of Ibn al-Sheikh al-Libi, who was captured and handed over to Suleiman in 2001. The U.S. used the information al-Libi gave under torture as evidence of a connection between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, which contributed to U.S.-led efforts to invade Iraq in 2003. The protesters in Egypt call Mubarak a dictator, a pharaoh who has no plans to relinquish power.
Suleiman is no different than Mubarak. In fact, Omar Suleiman is more dangerous than Mubarak.
The question remains that once Mubarak is gone, is there any guarantee that his successor will heed to the people's demands?
Three decades ago, these pictures made headlines around the world, which led to the overthrow of the Shah regime and the birth of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. The revolution changed the world equations. Today, 32 years on, similar popular protests are taking place in Egypt, which is highly expected to reshape the Arab world. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak, who now sees his 30-year grip on power in limbo, is doing everything he can to stop history from repeating itself. However, as public calls for his resignation have been escalating, analysts believe it is only a matter of time before he is forced to step down. As history bears witness, the revolutions in Egypt and Iran have much in common. Both simmered under the rule of corrupt leaders who had held power for three decades. Both were triggered by new media, audio cassettes in Iran, Twitter and Facebook in Egypt. Both dictators, Hosni Mubarak and Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, were seen in Washington as family friends, to borrow Hillary Clinton's phrase.
One strong similarity that Mohammad Reza Pahlavi and Hosni Mubarak shared was the close ties that they had with the United States and Israel.
In the 1979 Iran Revolution, the U.S. support for the Shah, spearheaded by President Jimmy Carter, remained strong until the fall of the regime. But although the U.S. under President Obama has been supportive of Mubarak's regime at the beginning, it now seems that Washington is changing policy by urging Mubarak to resign.
The U.S. has dropped support for Mubarak because it wants to pretend that it cares about the demands of the people of Egypt, so that in the future it will be able to install a new puppet government.
It's something that Westerners miscalculate in the region. They want to believe that in Tunisia and in Egypt, people do not look at religion for a source of inspiration. When we watch the events unfold in Cairo and in other cities, people were praying on the streets while they were confronting the police. Yet the Western media and even Al Jazeera were constantly trying to portray this as a secular movement merely for better, for more jobs and more individual freedoms. Whereas this went, this goes far beyond that.
According to the latest poll conducted recently, 59% of Egyptians favor an Islamic government. This is another point of similarity between the revolutions in Tehran and Cairo, except the fact that in the Iran revolution, more than 98% of the population favor the Islamic Republic. Therefore, analysts believe the U.S. will have problems to achieve its goal because the Muslim Brotherhood, which has a long history of fighting the anti-American policies of Hosni Mubarak, will not easily give up the fight. Salman Kujuri, Press TV, Tehran.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. إخواننا المعتقلين كما نطالب فورا بإلغاء قانون الطوارئ إن قانون الطوارئ علامة سوداء في تاريخ أوصيكم بالصبر والثبات فهناك من يريد أن يزعزع عقيدتكم وأن تذهبوا إلى بيوتكم دون أن تأخذوا حقوقكم كاملة ولكننا نطالب كما طالب عز وجل من فوق أطالبكم بالثبات حتى النصر أطالبكم بالصبر حتى النصر تعذب منا الملايين بهذا القانون وآمننا أن نأخذ حقنا وأن نقول ولا لكل شيء ترفضه القيم ويرفضه الإسلام وترفضه الأخلاق أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أدعو الله عز وجل Thank you.